Let's get our Bibles in our hands. We are so grateful for the opportunity to come before the Lord in the form of the Word of God. So repeat after me, this is my Bible. Oh, I like the way y'all sound. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I am a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. And we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray over the preaching moment really briefly. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless this preaching moment. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today is Surrounded. So the song that we sang or we played was intentional, Surrounded. Let's give us a working definition of surrounded. And it means to be all around someone or something. Normally, when we are discussing surrounded, we are normally talking about the troubles that surround us, the issues that surround us. But as people of God, it does us a great disservice to only look at the negative that is happening in our life. When we think of surrounded, we now should first think of how God is surrounding his people. And so I'll give you the premise of the message up front. God got his people. God has his folks, and God has you surrounded. Somebody say surrounded. Let me give you five reasons to believe we are surrounded. I'm going to give you all five reasons up front, and then we'll go to scriptures later. Give you all of them up front. Here's number one, God beside us. So God is beside his people. Number two, God is for us. So God is for his people. Number three, God is with us. So God is with his people. So he's beside his people. He's for his people. He's with his people. Number four, God goes before us. So God goes before his people. And then number five, God goes behind us. So you got God beside you, you got God for you, you got God in front of you, you've got God behind you, you've got God all around you. Even the scripture in Psalm said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so when earlier I was doing the turnaround, I was still in God because God's got my front and he's got my back. He's got my side. He's got above and below. He has me surrounded. So now let's give us eight verses to show God has you covered or has you surrounded. So I don't want to just say those things without giving you scriptural context. And we're going to not spend a lot of time on this. Alas, the Anyway series, I took a lot of time. Today, I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm just going to kind of go quick with it. So let's go to Psalm 16 and 8, and I'll be reading myself. So Psalm 16 and 8 from the New Living Translation says it this way. I know the Lord is always with me. So there's that with. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. So there's two of them right there. He's with me and he's beside me. Let's give us another verse, the second verse. Verse 31 of Romans 8 says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us,
who can be against us? So we have the for us, we have the with, and we have the beside, all from scripture. Let's look at another scripture. Isaiah 41 and 10 says this: don't be afraid, for I am with you. There's the with again. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I'm not giving us a bunch of context behind the verses, but I kind of want to read that again, and I'm going to read it in my own vernacular. Don't be scared. I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be down in the dumps. Don't be looking like you're sucking on sour lemons, because I got you. I'm with you. I will strengthen you and help you. I'm going to hook you up. You ever had somebody just hook you up? Let me pause and talk just for a second. Some years ago when I was, wait, somebody say before he was married, some years ago there was a girl in the McDonald's line. I think she was kind of sweet on me, because every time I'd order, she'd hook me up. She put stuff in the bag that I didn't order, I didn't ask for. If I asked for one apple pie, I got three. She'd hook a brother up. I'm here to let you know, God will hook a sister up. He'll hook a brother up. He got you. Don't trip. He got you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Deuteronomy 1 and 30 says this: the Lord your God, which goeth before you. So now this is the before you. He shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. There are some battles, Sister Ruth, that you have to fight yourself, because God will empower you to fight. We talked about it some weeks ago in the advance, that the violent take it by force. But there are some battles that you don't even have to wake up for, because God will go before you and he will fight for you. By the time you wake up, the battle is already won, because while you were sleeping, God will go before you. There's no need in you staying up, because God neither slumbers nor does he sleep. So since God is up, I'm going to go to sleep, because God will go before you. I know what the doctor said, but God will go before you. I know what the education system said, but God will go before you and he will fight for you. Let's go to another scripture. Verse Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says this: the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will neither leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now I'm going to different verses, and it's telling you the same thing, that God got you. He's got you surrounded. Got a few more verses before I go to those. Let me just pause and say, it doesn't always seem like it though. Doesn't always feel like it. Because the battle can be raging. Let me give you the example. Just recently, we come through natural storms. Some storms had hit this area, and some tornadoes. And when you're in a storm, it gets quite scary. When you're in a storm. Now, I was away. I had left. It wasn't quite storming when I left and went to work. But by the time I went to work, my daughter texted me and let me know that things had gotten pretty bad. They ended up losing power. I was a little concerned that I was away from them and I was at work while they were home by themselves. And I'm wishing, man, I wish I didn't have to be here. But then I thought, at the end of the day, I can't stop a tornado. I can't stop a storm. They got the best one that they need. They got God with them. So I sent the prayer of God. Now, here's the thing. When you're in the middle of the storm, it doesn't look like you're going to make it out. But when you make it out, the problem with us, when we make it out, we forget to praise the one that was with us in the storm. He's a God that'll get in the storm. Not every storm will he remove, but he'll get in the storm. And in the storm, he can still say, peace, be still. I'm here to announce to some of y'all, you've been in some storms, but the storm is coming to an end. and God is speaking peace to the storm. And the only thing that I ask you is don't forget who got you out the storm and don't forget who was with you in the storm. Now, as you come through a storm, sometimes you see some of the damage. You see some of what the storm did. And some of y'all don't know how good God has been because he stopped so much. It's not till something gets close to you that you recognize how great and powerful he is. It's not till the house next to you gets swept away and your house is still standing that you realize, oh my God, you've been good to me. In the Los Angeles fires, there were several stories where whole buildings were burning down, but somehow the Bible in the building just didn't burn up. It's amazing how when God steps in your situation, don't care what the storm is doing, don't care what the winds are doing, don't care what the fire is doing, when God got you surrounded and covered, nothing can take you out. Doesn't make a difference. Now, we've been through some hard times, but this is what you always have to remember. Times could have been harder. Sometimes it's hard to even fathom. How could it be harder? All you got to do is talk to somebody else. Because what you're going through, somebody else is going through more. You lost a child, someone lost three. You lost a father, someone lost father and mother. So there's a lot going on, and you still have a right and a reason to praise God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. I've got to move on because I'm not trying to take too much time on this part, but I do have to say that it is quite interesting that if you never face anything, you really don't know the goodness of God if life is always easy. It's not until you don't know how you're going to see your way and God bring you out that you really realize how great he is. It's not until you get in the valley that you know he's the lily in the valley. It's not until you get in the storm and in the water that you know he can keep you from drowning. So sometimes stuff has to come your way just so you know how good God is. It's good to know he'll be there if ever I fall, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all because he's able to keep me. So it's better not to fall, but it's also good to know he's there if I fall. It's better not to allow the storm to take me out, but if the storm does take me out, it's good to know I'm still surrounded. Let me see, how can I demonstrate this? I'm gonna go back here for a hot second. Let's see, Dylan, can you follow me? I think, let me see, where can I go? I'm going to go over here. You got me up here. Okay, I'm going to go up here. So, let me go back here. Boy, I'm standing strong and tall. I'm big. I'm big. We used to play a game called King of the Hill. And you get on the hill and somebody try to knock you off. And if you could hold your position, you remain king of the hill. But guess what? Every Sunday and every Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you don't feel like king of the hill. Sorry for working you so hard, Dylan. Now I'm going to be like just how some of us really are. I'm laid out. Jesus, this life is rough. My goodness, this depression is hard. My goodness, I can't shake this addiction. My goodness, I'm broke as a joke. My goodness, I'm nervous about the terrors. Guess what? What my point is, when you're king of the hill, he's God. And when you're down in the dumps, he's still God. See, it's not the circumstance that makes him God. He's God because he's God. So he's God when you're up, but he's God when you're down. And sometimes you don't know he's God until you're down and he pulls you back up. See, some of y'all look at other folk and you say, oh, they are always praising, but you don't really know what's behind they praise. See, I could praise like that if I had a husband and if I had a wife and if I worked at General Motors and if I had a good car, I could praise God. But you don't understand. I'm not praising him because the car. I'm not praising him because the job. I'm praising him because when I was down in the dumps, he was still there. I was still surrounded because he's still God. You don't know my story. Some people see your glory, but they don't know your story. There's a story behind the glory. And here's the story. Even when I'm down, he's yet God. And he's yet on my side. Let's go to these next few verses. And let's give a hand clap for Brother Dylan. Draylen has a job now. He's working on Sunday, so Dylan's doing it by himself, and I made him work a little bit. So let's go to Psalms 139:5. Oh, I got to give him a little extra money. Is that what I got to do? Come on, Jason. Stay out of my pockets now. Come on. Psalms 139:5 says, "What you go before me and follow me." Wait a second. You go before me and you follow me. That's how bad God is. He can get in front of you and behind you at the same time. You place your hand of blessing on my head. So he goes in front of you and he follows you and he blesses you all the while. All right, let's go on to Isaiah 52:12. It says this, "You will not leave in a hurry, running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind." There's another scripture that says he's going to be in front of you and he's going to be behind you at the same time. And then it says you ain't got to run. You ain't got to be scared. You don't have to worry because he's in front of you and behind you at the same time. So what am I saying? I'm saying what I told you. He got you surrounded. All right, here's Matthew 28:20. This is Jesus' word. I have a lot from the Old Testament, and I had two verses from the New Testament. Here's one from the New Testament. It says this, "Lo, I am with you always." This is the B clause of the verse. "Even unto the end of the world, amen." So here we got a promise from the Lord that look, lo means look, look, I'm going to be with you always. Before Jesus rose, after he rose and before he ascended to heaven, he left the disciples with this statement, "Look, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world." So it, as long as the world is hanging around, I'm still going to be with you. Now, if you know the disciple story, the things did not get really easy for them. They went through great persecution to push this gospel forward. And this is one of the reasons why we believe the gospel, because it could be a bunch of lies. It really could be lies. The disciples could have been lying to us when they penned things. So the book of Mark is penned after Peter's story. And then Matthew, he was a disciple. But Luke and John, they took their stuff from what they heard from Peter. So Peter could be lying to us. But the reason why scholars don't believe they're lying is because they were willing to die for what they said happened. All they had to do is say, "Hey, I lied. I made all this up. Jesus did not rise from the ground." But to a T, they were willing to die. And Peter himself, he said, "Not only am I willing to die, but I don't deserve to die like my Savior did. So crucify me, but crucify me upside down." They turned the cross upside down and nailed Peter to the cross. He died on the cross and he died still saying, "No, what I said happened still happened." John the Revelator, they stuck him in a pot of boiling oil and put him in a pot of boiling oil. All he had to do was say, "No, this stuff is false. This stuff is fake. This stuff is phony." But he still held on to it. That's why scholars believe, because there was no reason you would die for a lie. Now I know y'all been saved all your life, but I done lied in my life. But I ain't never had a lie that I'd been willing to die for. "Did you take the cookies out the cookie jar?" "No, I didn't." But when my mama said, "I'm about to beat whoever did it," "Oh, all right, I did it," because I didn't want no pain. But if she said, "I'm going to kill you if you don't tell the truth," guess what? I'm going to tell the truth. But they held on to it. And how could they hold on to it in the midst of all that? Because they were surrounded. They were surrounded. Now, here's the thing I need you to understand. God is not asking us to be crucified. God is not asking us to be beat. God is not asking us to get our heads chopped up. These are all the things that happen to some of the people in the scripture. So guess what? You can go through what you got to go through and still keep on believing and trusting in God. You can keep on declaring that God is faithful, that God is real. It ain't time to be mealy-mouthed and hiding. This is the time to say that God is real and God is on the throne and God got me surrounded. Well, what you gonna do when this happened? What you gonna do when that happened? I don't know, but I'm surrounded. What you gonna do when they do this? What happens if he walks out on you? What happens if she leaves you? What happens if they cheat on you? What happens if your kids stop loving you? It doesn't really make a difference. Not that I want any of those things to happen, but at the end of the day, I am surrounded. I'm surrounded by God. And here's the thing. If God goes before me, that means anything that I happen to get in that's negative, he already knew about it. So the day that I found out about the trouble is not the day he found out about the trouble. So it's a possibility he already made provision for the trouble. So I might as well trust God in the trouble. I'm not grateful for the trouble, but I can trust God in the trouble because I'm still surrounded. Oh, man, I got to move on, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying you're surrounded. All right, here's a better way that I can say it. Years ago, it was a white man who joined our church, and he was such a sweet man. Little eclectic and weird, but a sweet man. His name was Brother Dave. Brother Dave used to like to play the drums. And before he passed away, people would ask him about his testimony. He was real basic with his testimony. He said, "Brother Andre, I looked in my hand on this side, the people I knew who was living without God. And I looked at my hand on this side to see the people that was living with God. These people looked like they was doing much better. So I said, dummy, go from here over there." That was basically his testimony. I tried it without God and I tried it with God. And it's better with God than it is without God. So I'm not going to be no dummy. I'm going to stay where I'm surrounded. I may have trouble in God, but I'm still surrounded. I may struggle in God, but I'm still surrounded. So I'm going to get where I'm surrounded. All right, let me see if I can make it even more basic. There's an old song that said, come on in where you're not I can't remember exactly how to say it, but basically what they're saying is come on in under the rain. Come on out of the rain and come basically in the umbrella. In other words, if you're getting wet over here and there's an umbrella over here, then get under the umbrella. All I'm saying is God's got you surrounded, but God can't have you surrounded if you don't get where he is. So just get on God's team. And it's not always easy street on God's team, but it's better than getting rained on. Who said it? Was it the color purple? It's going to rain on your head. Well, yeah, sometimes the rain of judgment is going to be on your head. So get out of the judgment and get over where God is. It's actually really simple. All right, so moving right along. Here we go. One story to show you are surrounded. Just one story to impact you, to let you know you're surrounded. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. Before I read the scripture, I'm just going to give you a little the background. So this is the story of Elisha. By the time you get to 2 Kings, Elijah has gone on, and this is Elisha. The Elijah was the forerunner. Elisha was the mentee to the mentor. So there comes a time where Israel was in a time of battle. Throughout their history, there was a lot of battles. They had a lot of enemies. And in this particular time, there was an enemy who kept sending troops to defeat Israel. But every time the troops would come, the Israel king would always know what was being done and would always get them out of it, and they would always win the victory. So the enemy king got upset, and he said, "There's a snitch on my team." Basically, I'm paraphrasing, who is telling all the plans Every plan that we have, they done beat us to it. Somebody is running their mouth. Now, in reality, I don't blame the king, because sometimes the folk on your team will run their mouth too much and talk too much. But somebody on the team said, no, king, it ain't nobody telling. We don't have no snitches here, because snitches get stitches. Ain't no snitches here. What's going on is there's a prophet in Israel. And he tells his king what's going on while you still sleep. In other words, before you even dream it up, the prophet is already telling what you're about to do. So it ain't nobody's fault. It's the prophet. And so the king said, we're going after the prophet. And so forget the whole army. We're going directly after the prophet. Let's pick it up in verse 14. 2 Kings 6, verse 14 says this. So one night, the king of Aram, the enemy king, sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. Not the city of the Israelite army, but the city of the prophet. That's like them, like that's like the Russian army sending the whole army to your neighborhood to surround your house. Forget America, I'm mad at you. Jossie, I'm sick of you and your worship and your prayer, so we are surrounding you. All right, let's look at verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he responds, oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. I like he cried. So let me go ahead and put it in my words. He said, what is we going to do? He woke up one day. You know, normally he wakes up and checks the land. He wakes up and sees a whole army. And so he runs back to tell the prophet, we got a problem out there. Like they say in NASA, Houston, we got a problem. And so he was telling Elisha, what is we going to do? And look what Elisha said in verse 16. Now, normally Elisha should say, whew, this is horrible. This is rough. Let me get on Facebook and tell everybody how bad it is. Let me call 411 or 911 or something. But verse 16, this is what happens. It says this, don't be afraid, Elisha told him. For there are more on our side than on theirs. Elisha, I like you. I appreciate you. I love you. But your math is kind of bad. Because it's two of us and it's a whole bunch of them. Now, if you have to understand armies back in the day, they didn't just have a little. So when we talked about Gideon, the enemy army had 60,000. So we're talking about thousands. And Elisha has the nerve, the unmitigated gall to say, there's more with us than there is against us. Look at what verse 17 said. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. What? In other words, he couldn't see who was on his team because the people that God had on his team are invisible. But he said, open his eyes. So Elisha was not in fret. He was not afraid because Elisha understood that there are folk on my team surrounding me that you can't see. So God, I need you to open his eyes. Now his eyes were open, but he said, open his spiritual eyes. With his natural eyes, he sees, it's just two verses and thousands. But with the spiritual eyes, I see I got more. And the scripture said there was chariots and horses with fire. So that means this ain't regular. This is not regular army. This is a spiritual army. And so let me say it like this. Right now, we've got quite a good number in here, but we still got some empty seats. But there's really no empty seats in here. There's angels all throughout this building. And if you mess around, you just might bump into one of them, because they are here to guard and guide and protect. And I have angels watching me, and you have angels watching you, and you got stuff around you. So when God is surrounding us, he's surrounding us with stuff that we can't quite see. Every now and then you'll get a glimpse if you get into the heavenly realm runs parallel to the natural realm. And every now and then in the spiritual realm, you'll see something. And the reason why you don't see it all times is because it'll scare you. But you'll see something. So I remember one particular time I was working in Indianapolis at Allison Transmission, driving down the road. And I don't believe I was driving. I believe I was riding with someone. I can't remember if I was driving or riding, but I think I was riding. And out the corner of my eye, I seen this orange light. And we're going down the highway, so I know this is not a stoplight. So I just assume, you know, you see the back of another car next to you. I thought it was just the little orange thing on there. So I looked over there, and just for a brief second, I can't even say a second, I seen a figure, and it was doing like this. It was running beside our car. And it was big. I couldn't see the whole thing, but it was just a glimpse. And then I heard God say, I got angels watching over you. And I realized that while we are driving, it is not us that is holding the wheel. It's really the angels running beside us to make sure everything is going on. Man, I know what people are going to say, because I think the same thing. Well, what happens when there's an accident? What happens when trouble happens? But what we always forget is, yes, there are accidents, but we always forget how many times there was an accident. Just think in your life right now, how many places you've gone and not been in an accident. Just think how many times you flew in the plane went up and came down and nothing happened. How many times did you drive down the highway and nothing happened? Here's the thing, the moment something happens, it's like God wasn't on his job. But we forget all the millions of times that he's kept things together, because he has you surrounded. And sometimes you just need to get a glimpse to see that God's got you surrounded. He don't just have you surrounded on the highway and in the airways. He got you surrounded in the restaurants, because you don't know what they're doing back there in the kitchen. He got you surrounded in the restaurants. He got you surrounded on your job. I'll give you another story that happened on my job that it took me almost a year to put it together. But I remember I was new on a particular job, and I was driving my forklift, and I had my forks way up in the air, and I was pulling something that I need to get down. And as I was pulling it down, it all began to fall. And I put my brakes on. I was like, I can't move, because if I move, this thing is going to fall. It's going to spill everywhere, but it also might hit me. And so I held on to the brake, and I was like, God, help me out. Yeah. Somebody comes around the corner, and they said, I got this, go. So they put their forks up, and they told me to back out and go. I went and did what I needed to do, and I was like, man, I didn't even tell the dude thank you. So I came back to tell him thank you, and they weren't there. So I drove over to the other dock to tell him thank you. They weren't there. I went to the other dock and said they weren't there. I remember what they looked like. It was a man with an orange beard, red beard, and a hat. And I'm looking for the man with the red beard and the hat. And every day after that, I was looking for the man with the red beard and the hat, and there was nobody there. Finally, I asked somebody, I said, who works over here with the red beard? I said, ain't nobody work over here with a red beard. It dawned on me later, an angel came and got me out of trouble, because God has angels watching over us. You are surrounded. So what do you have to do? You got to learn how to focus more on the positive than you do the negative. So think about all the things that have happened. That's why you can sing a song like, I just want to thank you, Lord. Because when I think about it, all right, let me pause and say it like the old church people would say. They would say, first, give an honor to God. who's the head of my life. They talk about the pastor, all that. But then they would say something like this: when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for delivering me. I thank God for getting me out of some stuff. When I think back over my life, he done got me out of some stuff. I could tell you story after story, but just think about your own stories. Think about some of the stuff that don't make sense. Even think about some of the stuff when you was in the world, away from God, and what should have happened and what could have happened, but what didn't happen. You got to remind yourself, it had to be God. This couldn't be nobody but God. I must be surrounded. It's a possibility that God has gone before me. Let's even go further back. Let's go back to when you were a child and the stuff that happened to you that you were a child. Let's do this. Next time you're in the shower, and next time you washing up, I hope y'all do wash up, but next time you're doing that, look at your body and see all those scars that you have on your body. All the different things that have happened to you and how your body has healed itself and left a scar to remind you. Some of them were small, but some of them were big. But every one of those small things could have been a lot worse. Got a scar on my arm right here. I'm thinking about a lot of job stuff. We deal with a lot of steel, and there was a mess that happened, so I just went to pick up the steel, and the steel flipped back and slipped my arm open. Blood started pouring out, and I had to go to medical. And you know the first thing they did? They wrote me up because they said you're supposed to have sleeves on. I didn't even know. I was new to the area, and I was like, man, I didn't cut myself. Wasn't that bad enough? They wrote me up on top of it, but I still have a nice little scar that I look at. But it could have been a lot worse. It could have hit an artery. It was right here. It's an inch from a main artery. It could have been a lot worse, but we just go on about our business. But I'm here to let you know God has you surrounded, and he's had you surrounded for a long time. And so if you can fix your mouth not to give him praise, you're making a mistake. Because he done a whole lot. Danger seen and unseen. Two more stories and then I'll move on. Because we're really done. But twice this year, I noticed where the devil tried to kill me twice this year. Either try to kill me or just to harm my new car. I'm driving. I'm not always good with directions. But it would be north on Tillerson. Driving north on Tillerson, crossing Bethel. I have the light, me and Alana are there. I have the light and I'm driving. And a person is driving the opposite way on Tillerson. They're going south, I'm going north, and I'm crossing Bethel. And all of a sudden, the person over there turns and shoots down Bethel. There's no way you can do that if I have the green light. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they was high or whatever. And they just was coming straight for my car. And I had to grab the wheel and turn. And I was in the left lane on Tillerson going north. And then I had to go to the right lane. And I overcorrected and I was headed for the telephone pole. And then I stopped it. And me and Alana was like, whoa. And Alana was like, I didn't even know how bad it was. But I, just in the nick of time, God got me out of it. I'm thinking, wow, that could have been worse. Not only did I dodge the car, but I dodged the telephone pole. The car was on my side, but then the telephone pole was on Alana's side. It could have been horribly bad. And I got past it, but after I got to the house, I didn't let Alana know how shooken up I was, but I was shooken up because it just happened so quick. Your life could be gone so fast. But I was surrounded. And then about 3 months later, same road, in almost the same spot. This time I'm going north on Tillerson again. This time a person is coming down Bethel the other way, and they must not have seen the stoplight, and they just blew right through it. I was in the middle of the intersection, and I slammed my brakes, and they went right in front of me. And then they turned on Tillerson. So they was trying to turn. They just, I think they had spaced out or something. Now, this time I wasn't as holy. I laid on the horn. And then I got behind them and I wanted to get next to them. What are you doing? And I honked the horn and they would not look at all. They kept their heads straight. It was a young girl that I realized she just must have spaced out. So let me go on about my business. But then I thought twice in the same spot. The devil just tried to wreck me. And I just had to say, devil, you can't get me when I'm surrounded. I can't go till God is ready for me to go. I got an assignment on this earth, and I got an appointment. When it's my time, it's my time. But when it's not my time, there's no demon or devil in hell that can stop me and take me out, because I am surrounded, and so are you. All right, let's go to this word here. It's called Jehovah Shammah. This will close it. We're finished. I can tell you story after story, but I'm going to stop there. Jehovah Shammah means this. It means the Lord is there. The reason why you are surrounded is because the Lord is there. Or another definition is the Lord is present, or the Lord is here. It comes from Ezekiel. It's the last verse of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, it's a very hard book to understand. But what it does, it talks about the future glory, basically the heaven, the future Israel that's coming to the earth. And it talks about the city of God, and it makes this statement here. Let's put it up. Ezekiel 48:35 says this. And from that day, the name of the city will be Jehovah Shammah, which is translated, the Lord is there. In other words, it'll be known that the Lord is in the city. And because he's in the city and he's so big and he's so bad, he's got everything in the city surrounded. Let me give you an example like this. Many times when people are robbers and thieves, they don't like to go to a place where the light's on, because that means somebody is there. I rather go where things are abandoned, because I can get in and get out and do what I need to do. If I go where it looks like there's activity and somebody's there, I may have to meet with something. So I don't want to do that. Now, this is not in the notes. Let me just throw this in there. Stop telling everybody when you go on vacation. Sometimes what you should do, you should go on vacation and post after you get back. Because everybody ain't saved that's on your Facebook. But people don't want you to be there so they can do what they need to do. Well, here's the thing. The devil don't want God to be there, because he's trying to get you. But the reason why I'm surrounded is because God is there. God is here. God is in this city. God got the light on in my life. God has the light on in this church. God is present. And you are surrounded. Jehovah Shammah. Now, if a person has a alarm system and a person is trying to rob and they don't know that someone is there, the alarm would sound off and it would let them know, get away, run. The alarm would sound off. Well, when the devil gets close to us, there's an alarm that sounds off and it says, Shammah. When you were young, you were here. People speaking in tongues and didn't know, sometimes you would hear them say, Shammah. And what they're saying, God is here. The reason why you can't take me out, because God is here. The reason why your lies won't work, because God is here. The reason why I haven't lost my mind is because God is here. I'm surrounded, and the reason why I'm surrounded is because God is in my city. And as long as God is in my city, he got me covered. And he's got you covered. Let's move to our communion. And what this does is this reminds us. It reminds us of his presence. It reminds us of his protection. It reminds us of his promise. Let's go to scripture. Sometimes I think God has this communion cup surrounded because it's hard to get into. All right. Look at what it says. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it. Do something for me. Go ahead and break the bread. And do another thing for me. I'm going to take about 30 seconds. Just where you are, think about something God did for you, something God got you out of, a time where you realize that had to be God, and just take some moment to thank him. Ah, glory. I told my stories, but think about your story. Now with that, it says this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance. Now go ahead and eat. All right, now let's go to this blood. Now let me stop and say this. If you thought, man, I can't think of anything God has done for me. If possibly there's nothing you can think of that God has done for you, you can think about what he did on the cross. He gave you his blood. Let's read this part. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Well, I'm going to read it one more time. And when I get down to you, I want you to say your name instead of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for Andre. Say your name again. Andre. Now let's drink the cup. I ask God, as I was speaking in tongues, what am I doing? He said, you're speaking to the demons. See, I told you you're surrounded, but I'm reminded the demons. The demons that got plans for you. On the other side of these doors, I'm reminding them, God got you. And they can't do nothing to stop you because God is on your side. Woo! So just give me just a few more seconds. I got a few more demons to talk to. Caporosa de bande coba. That's the demon of the summer bullet. That's the demon of the summer bullet that wants to fly and take our lives. Kosh de makate roboka risamanda. That's the demon of cancer. Shande boroko sabatikaba risama. That's the demon of accidents. We are surrounded by God. We are surrounded by Asherabo kobo Manta. That's the demon of marital trouble. Rosibata Rishdemaka Hesheba. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. My God. All right, let's move to our confession. Glory to God. You can sense the presence of the Lord in here. You can just sense it. Now, what I'm doing now, I normally do by myself. I know how to move into the presence of God, but it's good for you to feel it and sense it. Yeah. All right, just repeat after me. I'm not going to read it first. We're going to do this together. I thank you, Father, that I am surrounded by you because your presence is always there for me. One more time. I thank you, Father, that I am surrounded by you because your presence is always there for me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, open our eyes that we may see there's more with us than there is against us. And God, not just us, but let us be a beacon light of hope in this city that people begin to understand. If you're connected to this church, no matter what we have gone through in the past, we are back as the King of the Hill. We're on the top of the heap. And every demon and devil in hell has learned that God is on our side. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He's beside us. He's with us. And since he is for us, nothing can be against us. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.